Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercies. Lord God, as we enter your word this morning, we do not enter into it presumptuously, but rather we enter into it reverentially, being fully conscious and aware of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that's been compressed into the written word. Consequently, we ask you for help, supernatural assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. Lord God, we pray that, Lord, our hearts will be filled with revelation knowledge. Our minds will be enlightened, Lord God. Our wills will be made more humble, Lord. Our emotions will be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as we speak, your power will be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they're heard and released in all the word, in all the earth. That as the word goes forth, Lord, men will be healed, they will be delivered, yokes will be broken, Lord God, lives will be mended. Lord, glory will come to your name, and great blessing and edification will come to the church and also to the world. We ask for all of these mercies and blessings in Jesus' name. And for everyone that heard those prayers and the agreement with them, individually receiving all the blessings they mentioned therein in their individual life, agreed and said, Amen. This morning we're going to continue studying God's Word in 1 John. We actually finished 1 John, so today we're actually going to start 2 John. These epistles of John, actually from James, I call them the perfection epistles. If you study them very carefully, you will find that they contain instructions, very specific instructions, about growing into perfection as a Christian. In fact, the book of James starts with, you know, count it all joy when you find diverse temptations and trials, knowing this, that trying of your faith work experience. Let patience have a perfect work. Let me be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That's how it opens. And you see this theme throughout all the right until Jude. You see this theme of perfection in all of these epistles. And in 1 John chapter 5, we stopped in our last lesson, you know, and we'll just briefly visit that just, you know, for a minute or two. And here, he tells us in closing chapter 5 of 1 John, he says to them that they should, that this is the true God and eternal life. I think that's one of the greatest statements we have in the Word of God. You know, in fact, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and in John, the same John, in the Gospel of John, it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here in 1 John in chapter 5, in the last two verses, he says this: we know the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding. The purpose of our new birth is to understand God, is to come to know God and understand Him, and that He's the true God and eternal life. Eternal life is the very substance that is inside God that makes God God. This is so important. You know, most people think of eternal life as just this eternal existence in heaven with God. Well, that's a consequence of eternal life, but that's not what eternal life is. Eternal life is actually a substance. It's difficult to describe it in the natural. You know, the best way I can think of it is a fluid. It's the liquid. It's a spiritual liquid that is inside God that makes God God. And the Bible tries to use natural illustrations, it calls it living water, to give it a substantial, something of substance, like water. It's not water, we call it living water. It's water that has life. It is the very life of God, you know. And this is what Jesus came to give to the world. And you have to understand this, that this is what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. And this is what is restored to us in Christ. And with this eternal life, we can create anything we want, because that's what makes God God. So God now says, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of giving you this and giving you that, I'm going to give you the thing that I used to make everything. Here. Now do what you like with it. Well, of course, you can't do what you like with it. You have to do what God wants with it within the framework of God's word. You know, in other words, by giving you this, I have made you God like myself. Now, of course, we're not God, you know, but we are like God. That's the meaning of godly. Godly is not just being morally upright. It includes that, of course, but it goes farther than that. It's becoming like God. Like God in wisdom, like God in character, like God in ability, power and ability, intelligence, and all of these things. And these are aspects of Christianity that have not been emphasized down through the years. Most people emphasize Christianity only in the form of, you know, getting born again, and then your moral life changes, and then just hang on in there until you go to heaven. But that is a very incomplete picture of what God has available to us. So he said, this is the true God. He's given us a name that is true. It means there are false gods. That's another thought we took from here. And there are, you know, of course, there's only one true God, which is the God of Israel, you know, and the God who made heaven and earth. But then the devil and his principalities and powers have formed all kinds of, you know, smaller gods. You know, that men worship and all of that. The Bible says there be gods, lords many and gods many. But this is the true one. And his son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, this is the true God and eternal life. If you want to find out if a philosophy, if you like that word, you know, or religion is real, don't talk about eternal life. It doesn't really know the true God. Because that's the whole essence of Christianity. It's not just become a better person. It creates you as a better person by giving you the life of God. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, a new species of being that never existed before. And it's that eternal, it's the entrance of eternal life into our spirits that brings about that recreation of our spirits that makes us like God. And what the world is waiting to see, and that has not yet seen in great enough proportion, is a company of people who are really like God. The scripture prophesies about this in Isaiah. It says, and they will come to you, you know, kneeling, and they say, surely God is in thee. They will see something that says, ah, this is God. Another scripture in Isaiah 25 says, they'll say, this is our God, we have waited for him. The Bible says the whole creation is waiting, travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting to see a company of people that are just like God. They're not God, but they will just be like God. Like God in wisdom, like God in character, like God in power, like God in ability. You know, and the Bible says they will come to you in chains, and they will say, ah, this is, you know, surely God is indeed. And you know what? It's a great advertisement we can go give. Who doesn't like a good thing? People will be attracted to that God. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, not physically, that you lift him up like this, is if you lift me up in your character, if you lift me up in your wisdom, if you lift me up in your power, you know what? I'll draw all men unto me. It's automatic. If we lift him up, if we let people see him as he really is, we won't need to do much talking. They will come to us. The Bible actually says so in Isaiah 2, you know, it says, all nations shall flow, the mount of the Lord's house shall be exalted above the mountains, and all nations will flow. They will. Of course, not everybody, because some people, you know, they are dishonest hearts, but we'll have a great influx of people that will come in. And then the last thing he said to us was that, keep yourselves from idols, and I spent quite a bit of time on that. An idol is anything that takes the time, the affection of your heart that you should give to God. And anything can become an idol. Anything. You know, I talked about, you know, Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp. You know, spending 3-4 hours on WhatsApp, and you can't spend 3 hours in prayer. And then you tell me you don't have time. There's a lie in your right hand. And that lie is your mobile phone. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you don't have a mobile phone. All those things are there. They're good. Like, by the grace of God, we're using them for prayer the Good Morning Jesus platform and all of that, and it's a great doing. So don't let anything become an idol. Don't let you, whatever it is, it must not, no matter how nice it is, it must not take the time, it must not take the affection, it must not take the strength that you should give to God. Once you divert it, you know, that's why I say you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. So God must always be center. All these things, iPad, iPhone, all of these things, they're all tools to be used to that we can use to make ourselves closer to God. But they must never be a substitute for God. Praise the Lord. Now, 2 John chapter 2. There's only one chapter, rather, it's chapter 1. Because of the 2, it looks like a chapter there. And this is the new book that we're looking at. And it opens this way. It was written by the Apostle John. He says, the elder, he calls himself an elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, I didn't hear you, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you. He's talking to this lady, this woman. Mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady. It tells us twice, so we don't think that verse 1 is an accident. It's a woman, praise the Lord. Not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we should love one another. I'm going to stop there for today. Now, let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us from here. The first thing we need to understand here is that he's talking to a woman. And this woman was the senior pastor of this church or collection of saints. There was this group. God doesn't give us their names. This is a very, very significant thing, I think. It's a rare thing. Usually in scripture you would find the name, you know, for example, I've mentioned this, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, we know their names. But this lady, we don't know her name, you know. And sometimes God does that, you know, what you call a faceless generation, you know. But she had great commendation, even though we don't know who, what her name was, you know. And she was a lady, and she was in charge of this group of saints. And he says, unto the elect. I like that word, elect there. It means somebody that has found favor with God. You know, God chose her and put her in that position, you know, and her children. Of course, these are not her biological children. He's talking about her spiritual children. You know, you can see that from the context. And he says, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also they that have known the truth. In other words, this woman, you know, and her the saints that were under her were people who were walking in the truth, and they were loved by John. And John said, not only I love them, but any other person who is walking through will love them because of the sterling Christian character and lives that they were leading. Now, one important lesson that we need to learn from this is that a woman can be a senior pastor. You know, over the years, people have said, oh, you know, women shouldn't preach and all of that. Well, this, you have to read the whole Bible. This woman here was the, he didn't write, he was writing to a church. He was writing to a group of saints. And she was the one in charge. That's why it was, to her it was written, unto the elect and her children. He called the people, the Christians there, this woman's children. So a woman can be a pastor, of course. A woman can have any of the fivefold ministries. A woman can be an apostle. A woman can be a prophet. A woman can be a teacher. A woman can be an evangelist. A woman can be a pastor. You know, in Christ, and this is very, very important, there is no male or female. Now, of course, there are males and females. But what we mean by that is that God does not make a distinction. He doesn't make a difference. He will anoint a woman just as much as he will anoint any man. In fact, what we're supposed to be gunning for is to get to the place where we grow spiritually in our Christian lives, that a woman, you know, and a man under the Holy Spirit can do the same thing Jesus would do. See, as I'm growing to the fullness of Christ, and my wife is growing to the fullness of Christ, as we get to the fullness of Christ, there'll be no difference between us. Now, that's where we're going. That's the ultimate. There'll be no difference. Of course, there'll be the biological difference and the anatomical difference between men and women, because women is the man with a womb, and she has a womb so that she can have children and all of that. And then initially, and I use the word initially, you know, and really, you know, women are physically a little bit not as strong as men. That's why in competitions you don't have men playing against women in football and things like that, you know, because the way God designed their physical bodies, they are physically weaker than men are, generally speaking, and also emotionally. God put something inside them that's a little bit different from the man. However, that's why I use the word initially. However, as the woman grows in Christ, as she grows in Christ, those emotions will now become aligned with the emotions of Jesus. And as the man too grows in Christ, his emotions too be aligned with the emotions of Jesus. Then after a while, they'll be the same. That's where God is going. And no, women, don't let any man put you down. Praise the Lord. You know, I learned this, you know, when I became a Christian. And, you know, when I got married, I gave my wife a free hand. I still do. Praise the Lord. You know, because I recognize that in Christ, we're the same. Now, of course, for order and position, God says the husband is the head of the wife. So there is position and there is honor and all of that, you know, and order for so that things, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. So there is order in the church. Is this clear? And even in the church, when it comes to leadership, you know, and all of that, when there's not a man who, you see, if this woman was married, we don't know. Or her husband was still alive, we don't know. Maybe the husband was dead, we don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't give us any details. It just so happens that in this particular situation, the head of that group of Christians was a woman. The what that tells us, and the reason, the God had it recorded inside the Bible for generations to come. So people cannot say, oh, a woman cannot be the head of the church. She can be, of a local church, she can be. The head of ministry. And her husband is spiritual, and that's very important. You know, and spiritually equipped, then he will be the head. But if he's not, the woman will be. I didn't hear amen. I'm in Africa, praise the Lord. Amen. The amen didn't come out properly. Okay. That's what Ibu talk, praise the Lord. You know, no, but seriously. You know, and over the years, some examples are coming to my mind now, even though they had their issues. You know, Amy Simple MacPherson, you know, was a great woman of God in the 1920s. You know, she started for Foursquare Church. You know, her husband, you know, she and her husband were missionaries. Her husband, I can't remember all the things that happened. They had problems anyway, you know, and I think they divorced or he died or something like that, you know. And she became the head of the church. So who was worth preaching in her church? She had a church in Los Angeles called Angels Temple. Was one of the most powerful anointed churches back in those days. I remember Old Wigglesworth said this. I read it, you know, in one of his books. He said it's one of the most anointed pulpits he's ever preached from. And she had, you know, she had this band of intercessors. She was a praying woman and had a whole bunch of people. They used to pray, you know, they had a prayer altar, I think 24 hours, you know, in that church for many, many years. You know, and God used her mightily. Of course, she had her issues. You know, she made some mistakes and all of that. But that does not do away with the fact that God can put a woman in the head of a church and the church can flourish and prosper. You know, another example is Catherine Kuhlman. You know, again, you know, she too had her issues. You know, but the point we're making here is this. just like men, all women have the potential. Now, sadly, many don't develop it, but they should, you know, have the potential to grow into the fullness of Christ. That's the bottom line. Any woman, you know, can become anything in Jesus. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever. Not only that, you know, if the order is right, like in examples I gave, either the husband is not available or he's not spiritual or he's dead or whatever, you know, then the woman can also be the head of the church or the ministry or whatever, you know, the situation may be. But I would not even run away with that. What I want to, I'm not interested, and I don't think you should be too, in who is this and who is that. I'm interested in being like Jesus. You see, so well, once I'm like Jesus, it really doesn't matter. All that becomes irrelevant. Who is this and who is that and all of that. One of the best examples of this truth I'm talking about is this John himself that I'm writing about. You know, amongst the apostles, John was not number one. In terms of, you know, initially it was Peter. It was Peter, James, and John, you know, and then later on it was James. You know, in the church in Jerusalem, you don't see John worrying about vying for position. But you know what? He outlived all of them. He outlived all of them. Because, see, John was not focused on titles. He wasn't focused on position. He was focused on knowing Jesus. And he did that. And that's what put him... You know, by the time we, you know, by the time the whole thing finished, when I'm talking about the early church, you know, you see John's gospel, you see his writings shine. And they tell us, church history tells us, they couldn't kill him. They killed all the others. They killed Paul, they killed Peter, but they couldn't kill John. And I'm told, somebody told me this, you know, I can't remember where I heard it from, but somebody told me this, and I believe it's reliable and it's true information. John died in Ephesus. Ephesus is in Turkey today. And they said, somebody was telling us, said, anytime you go on a holiday and you go to Turkey, you know, we're planning to go to Israel sometime soon, by the grace of God, probably just take a trip to Turkey too, you know, in Ephesus is one of the tourist attractions. There is the house that John lived in. But, you know, not even more than that, you know, it was John that looked after Mary, Jesus' mother, until her death. So John and Mary lived in that house. I'm told, I haven't been there. You know, and that whenever you go on pilgrimage, you must go there to see where the great apostle and the holy mother were. You don't get it better than that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Imagine the double anointing. Holy mother and apostle of love. Amen. But the point is this. That's what really matters. Knowing Jesus. You know, God set me free many, many years ago when I was a young Christian and people were wondering, oh, are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you this? Are you a teacher? Are you that? You know, and I, you know, the Lord just said, don't bother about all of those things. He said, you concentrate on growth. You concentrate on growing spiritually. He said, when you grow, as you grow spiritually, you know, you get to the fullness of Christ, all those anointings will be there. The fullness of Christ will have, it will have the apostolic anointing, it will have the prophetic anointing, it will have the teaching anointing, it will have the pastoral anointing, it will have the evangelistic anointing. So don't bother your head about titles and positions and trappings. And so a woman who understands this, you know, will not bother herself. She just knows in Christ there's no male or female. God has not put any restrictions on me. I can grow to any level I want to grow in Christ. And if I grow to that level, then I will fulfill the fullness of my destiny. That's what's important. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have examples of this both in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila, that I mentioned, that were associates of the Apostle Paul. They formed a husband and wife team, and they had a church in their house, you know, and both of them were called pastors. Incidentally, it wasn't just Aquila alone, also and Priscilla, and you know, down through the years, I've mentioned Amy Simple MacPherson, Catherine Kuhlman, you know, and down through the years, there have been women like that, you know. Even in our own time, you know, you have someone like Gloria Copeland, even though her husband is the head of the ministry, Gloria Copeland is a very anointed woman. She's a great teacher. She's a, you know, great pastor. She's been with her husband all these years. They're very successful in their ministry, you know. And then these give us examples of people that you can follow after, women. When you want to follow women, you know, follow those kind of people. Praise the Lord. I've shared this testimony before. When I was praying for a wife, that's what I prayed for. Hallelujah. I said, God, give me a wife like Gloria Copeland. And he did. Praise the Lord. Amen. And over the years, my wife too, you know, she's growing and she's grown. She's still growing spiritually, you know, and God's using her tremendously. Amen. And you know, when you know who you are in God, then you're relaxed. Hello. I've used this illustration before. I will use it now, not only just for my wife and I, or husband and wife, but it's for true for every Christian. You know, one Christian's growth cannot take away from your own. I remember when we were in secondary school, you know, and we were preparing for WAEC. WAEC is West African School Certificate. You know, when we're in Form 1, Form 2, and Form 3, we used to come, oh, I want to be first in class. I want to be, you know, first. You know, not first. No. So when we got to Form 4, it was true in my school, and my classmates, we did very well in life. So many of us have done extremely well. But, you know, a bunch of us, not the whole class, but a bunch of us got together and said, this first and second is childish. I don't know who gave us that. It was God who gave us that wisdom. I said, it's very childish. Oh, you want to be first? Who cares? He said, look, the important thing is that if you get grade 1 distinction, it cannot take away from my own. So if all of us have, if I have aggregate 6, you have aggregate 6, he has aggregate 6, he has aggregate 6. Wow! WAEC won't say, oh, there are too many aggregate 6s. Instead of competing with one another, why don't we cooperate with one another so everybody will have a grade 1 and a grade 1 distinction? And that's what we should do spiritually. Don't compete with each other. Help one another so everybody can go to the fullness of Christ. Glory to God. It's very important, the right mentality. Very, 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 very important. So many Christians, they get, you know, they get off, you know, trying to, you know, because of titles and positions and all of that. And, you know, a woman can't do this. A woman cannot do that. A woman can do anything. Amen. And I'm looking forward to women in the fullness of Christ in this end time. And you can go and parachute them into Afghanistan. And they will be as effective as a man. Oh, yes. Because she's not them, it's God. It's not them, it will be God. Remember Deborah? In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, you know, where God finds a woman who is yielded to him, there is nothing he cannot do through that woman that he can do through a man. That's the truth. And that's the mentality we need to have. Amen. And when we do that, you know, we have more resources to play with. You know, when it's, oh, a woman can't do that. Oh, a woman cannot go to this place. You know, so we have to go and start looking and dividing our resources. Whereas if women can do it, then instead of sending 5 men there, you spend, you know, 5 men here and 5 women there, you get 10. Glory be to God. 2 for the price of 1. Glory be to God. Enough said. Okay. Now, verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. I love this statement because it's talking about the Lord Jesus. But I want to present to you that it's not just Jesus alone he's talking about. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Word of God. The truth's sake. He used the word truth here, but he's actually talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we all know the scripture, John 14 verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, The person, the Jesus Christ, the person, is the truth. He's truth personified. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, I think it's in chapter 13, in verse 5, it says, you know, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. When you get born again, now it's going to blow the religious mind, but it needs to be blown, because it's in enmity against God. Now watch this. When you got born again, what was actually born inside you was Jesus. Of
course, you know, not Jesus the person, but what I mean is that that new creation, recreated, born again spirit, is called Jesus Christ. You know why? It is Jesus. It's exactly like Jesus. It's just like Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to understand that. That's why it says, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The same DNA, the same nature, the same character, everything that Jesus is inside you. And if Christ be in you, that's what Paul says there. And if Christ be in you, who is in you? Christ! You need to understand that so that you have, you know, people, like I said, religious man can't fathom it and say, how can you say that, you know. But that's what the Bible says. And I think it's in 1 John chapter 5. Go to verse 7, I think. Yes. Yes. And go down to verse 8. 9. There's a scripture I'm looking for. You know, it says, you know, this, and he called it Jesus Christ. Verse 10. I can't remember exactly where it is. Where it talks about the fact that, you know, the born again spirit, you know, is exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all these scriptures, you know, allude to it. But there's a particular scripture. I'm sure if I find out, I'll or if you look, get it, you put it on the screen later on. It says, you know, he's born of spirit and water, and even Jesus Christ. Thank you. Verse 6. Thank you, Pastor Lalo. Look at verse 6. There we go. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water. He's not talking about Jesus. Jesus was already, watch. You know, we need to think. When Jesus was on the cross, he was already Jesus. You understand? He lost his blood, you know, and blood and water came out. That was what God used to get us born again. He's not talking about the Lord. He's talking about you and I. He said, this is he. Who's the he here? You and I. That came. How did we come? We came by water and the blood. That's how we came. Hello, somebody. What the water there is the living water, Zoe, and the blood. Those are the two things. The blood cleanses your heart, and then water enters and creates a new creature. Am I talking to anybody here? Amen. Not by water only, but by water and the blood. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that bears witness of this fact, hallelujah, that a new creature has been born into the earth. And then three bear record in heaven and three bear record on the earth. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? You need to understand that what is inside you is Jesus Christ himself. When we say that, we're not talking about the person, we're talking about his nature and his character. And you are completely identified with Jesus. Thank you, darling. You are a little Christ. That's what the word Christian means. It means a little Christ. It's just like Christ. And you know what? I like that, honey. You know why? It means that if he grows, he'll become a big Christ. So when you get born again, you get born again as a little Christ. But God doesn't want you to stay as a little Christ. He wants you to grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you now become a big Christ. So they now see you. And what do they see? Jesus. That's what we're going to see in this end time. I'm going to draw that a little bit closer. That's what we're going to see in this hour. The hour is here. Because the revelation and the clarity of the revelation is so great now. You know, when I look back, I say, God, what's left? It's so clear now. The Bible says the path of the righteous, it shines brighter and brighter under the perfect day. Where God is the perfect day? Hallelujah. God's going to have a bunch of people that are going to demonstrate Jesus. And people say, surely Jesus is in you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so, the truth is Jesus, but the truth is also the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth? Hello?
But the Bible even goes a little bit further than that. You know, look at 1 John. I got it here in my notes. Look at 1 John, and I think it's chapter 5. Is that same verse 6 we just looked at? He says, the Spirit is truth. 1 John, chapter 5, I believe it is. Am I talking to anybody here? Yeah. Because the Spirit is what? Truth. So when the Bible says the truth, it's not talking about the Lord Jesus. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit too. So the Spirit is truth. He said, for the truth's sake that dwelleth in us and that will be with us forever. So this Jesus that I have in me, this Holy Spirit that I have in me, isn't just a temporary thing for this age. It's going to be with me forever. Hallelujah. What a great deal. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is also called truth. He said, the Spirit is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Then there's one other thing that's also called the truth, the Word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. And the Bible says that if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. In other words, if you the more truth you have in you, the more you can ask anything you like. Because if you have the truth in you, you will never ask anything outside the truth. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So the truth is inside us. He's inside us in the nature of God. He's inside us in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's inside us in the Word of God. And we should guard this jealously. And that's why John wrote to these people. That's why he was so impressed with them. Let's get back to 2 John now in verse 2. And look at what he says. He said, for the truth's sake, I'm writing you, dearly elect lady, and your children. I'm very happy with you guys. This is a little bit paraphrase. He says, for the truth's sake that is dwelling inside you. And he uses the word us, talking about they and him, because it's true for every Christian. Is this clear? For the truth's sake, we dwell in the, and this is a great source of comfort. Hallelujah. This thing doesn't stop at the rapture. Hallelujah. It doesn't stop in heaven. Hello? It doesn't stop in the millennium. It's forever. What a great deal. Give all the clap offering, somebody. It's forever. So I'm going to treasure it. I'm not going to let anything tamper with the truth inside me. I'm not going to let anything tamper with the Spirit inside me. I'm not going to let anything tamper with the Word inside me. Are you listening to me? Next verse, verse 3. Grace be with you. The same way, you know, all the epistles were written, you find grace and peace. As I said, to the church at Corinth, to the church in Ephesus, grace and peace. Same way here, John writing to this woman, you know, recognizing her as a bona fide leader in the body of Christ, you know, he invokes upon her what we call the benediction, you know, the grace. Say, grace, hallelujah, be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In other words, you know, this letter that I'm writing to you contains... It's me who's writing it. However, it's God the Holy Spirit that is inspiring me to write it, and God the Holy Spirit is conveying the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of the Father, and the peace of God. All of that will be ministered to you as you read this. As you read these words that I have written, and you believe and you act upon them, grace will come, mercy will come, peace will come. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. From the Father in truth and love. In other words, this stuff is so wonderful. You know, he's talking here about the relationship between the three persons of the Godhead. You know, that they exist, they've always existed, you know, and they still exist in a relationship of truth and love. You see, One great truth about the Bible, I'm going to close with that this morning before I finish. It's the greatest revelation God has given me personally. You know, it's a revelation of the love of God. You know, over the years, you know, after I began Scripture Pastor and I wrote my first books, you know, I wrote Walking in the Spirit, I wrote Keys of the Kingdom, you know, I wrote The Realities of Redemption, then I wrote Practical Guide to Prayer. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, God gave me a revelation of the love of God. I'd never heard any other person say the way God gave it to me, you know, and I'm going to talk about it, you know, before we close, but the one of the greatest revelations you can have about God is that God is love, because that's what God is. But when you understand that, it brings out this truth that people often don't think deeply about. If God is love, then God cannot be one person. It's not possible. It's impossible. Because love requires relationship. And that's why it says, the Son of the Father in truth and love. You cannot have God is love and he loves himself. No. That's why God is three persons. The fact that God is love intrinsically means that God is more than one person. Give the Lord a clap offering. God is love. So, the Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. The Father loves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves the Father. The Holy Spirit loves the Son. And what? They never deceive each other. It's always in truth. And you see, what God has done by making us in the image, watch this, and the likeness of God, he's just extended the Godhead. If you can receive it, receive it. People didn't hear what I said. When God made man, what he essentially did was to extend the Godhead. That's why you are Elohim. The Hebrew word, in the beginning, God, is Elohim. Gods, in plural. Hallelujah. Then you go down to Psalm 8, and it says, Him. So what God did was that there were only three Elohim, originally. Then they took from the three Elohim, and made many Elohims. Along with Joe Yehua. You need to go and chew on that, you know, and digest it. It's the truth. The Son of the Father in truth and love. And he has called us to that fellowship. They have called us to be a partaker of that fellowship that was between the three of them. It's now been extended to you and I. Don't despise it. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. The scripture just came to me. He said, walk worthy of this vocation wherewith you are called. Do you know what you've been called into? You've been called into the fellowship of the Godhead. Will you then sell this for a piece of pottage? You see, Christians don't understand who they are. They don't understand what this. You know what I'm teaching you now? You know what is called the mystery of the gospel? The word mystery just means secret. You see, God had something inside his heart and was to extend himself and have people exactly like him, who will be exactly like him. So they too will be in truth and love. They will be in love and they will be in truth. They're not the kind of people who will not. Just like the three persons of the Godhead deal amongst themselves in truth and love, he expects all of us to deal with him and ourselves in truth and love. That is why the royal commandment is a commandment of love. You know, it all makes sense when you understand it. And that's why he said, you know, hear, O Israel. I'm going to talk about this later on. You know, here there is one God. And love him with all your heart, with all your strength, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. What we have in the Godhead, extend it to each other.
The same relationship we have, and we walk in truth and love towards each other, you walk in truth and love towards us and towards one another. Because all of you are Elohim. Hello, Elohim. Hello, Elohim. The religious mind doesn't want to. You know, this is enmity against God. I'll close in a minute. So, verse 4. Says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Spiritual children and spiritual mentors and fathers and mothers, you can give us no greater joy than to walk in truth. What's truth? The word of God. Thy word is truth. When you're walking in God's word and you're growing, that's what gives me and my wife and all the pastors and all people in leadership, that's what gives us our sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. It's not buying things for us. There's nothing wrong in buying things. But that's not the reason. You know, there's nothing you can, what are you going to give us? Walk in truth. Walk in truth. Walk in the word. Walk by the Spirit. There is no greater joy. You say, I rejoice greatly that I found of that. That's why that was what motivated John by the Holy Spirit to write this letter. He went to visit them, obviously. You know, and God reports about them. This woman and these Christians that were under her. And the reports were so good and they were so glowing that he said, I must write them a letter to the elect lady and her children. I've heard great things about you, and I rejoice greatly because I heard you're walking in truth. No greater joy. As we receive the commandment from the Father, verse 5, I'm going to close on that. I will take it from there, my last lesson. My next lesson. It says, I beseech you, lady. Now he commended her. Now he's also now admonishing, you know, appealing to her, begging her. The word beseech means to beg. You know, of course she wasn't a disobedient person. He was just encouraging her. You know, not as though, I didn't hear you. I wrote a new commandment unto thee. But that which we had from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. The commandment has never changed, folks. It has never changed and it will never change. The commandment is love. Now, I said this, I was going to say this, I'll close with this. What is love? God is love. God is a person. But functionally, what is love? Love is discerning by the wisdom of God that comes through the word of God. I've said it over the years, but I'm saying it now in the most comprehensive manner that I've ever said it. Love is discerning by the wisdom that comes from the word of God. Feeling by the compassion that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. And doing by the power that comes from the gifts of the Spirit. What God would do in every situation. That is a very comprehensive definition of the love of God. Wisdom, compassion, and power. But that wisdom comes from the word. The compassion comes from the fruit. And the power comes from the gifts. Or the power, you know, the ability of the Holy Spirit. And watch this. God shared this with me recently. I'm going to expand it in my next lesson. But let me just hit this running. You know, do you understand something about God? When we grow spiritually, you see, you got gifts of the Spirit. We got the revelation gifts that reveal something, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernings of spirits. We've got the power gifts, special faith, workings of miracles, and gifts of healings. And then we've got the utterance gifts, which are prophecy, diversities of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. But watch this. I taught this when we taught School of Ministry. Many, many years ago, it came by revelation. I never heard anybody say it like this, but it's obvious that it's the truth and the word of God. As you grow into the fullness of Christ and you become more and more like Jesus, you know what's going to happen? Your ordinary discernment will be like discerning of spirits. your ordinary faith will produce the workings of miracles. Your ordinary talk will be like prophecy. Have you noticed Jesus never said, "Thus said the Lord"? Have you ever heard? Go and check Jesus say something. You will never see him say, "Thus said the Lord." You know why? If he said it, it's "Thus said the Lord." You can get there. And we see examples of it. We see snippets of it in Paul. You see Paul writing a letter, and he says, "This is not God talking." He said, this is me talking as one that has received the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And this is what I give in my opinion, and God stamps it as scripture. It shows that as you are growing spiritually, the time will come where your thoughts will become like God's thoughts. So when you look at a situation and you make a judgment and you make a discernment of it, it will be exactly the same opinion that God will have if he did the same thing. Without you having discerning of spirits and having a vision for God to say, "This is what I'm saying." So your discernment will be like discerning of spirits. There's a difference. Discernment just means, you know, being able to see into a situation. Discerning of spirits is having a vision where you see and hear into the spirit realm. But you will not, as you grow spiritual, you get to a place where your discernment will be as accurate as having discerning of spirits. Your faith will produce workings of miracles. You won't need special faith. Your talk will be prophecy without saying, "Thus saith the Lord." As I grew spiritually, and I'm still growing, don't misunderstand me. As I grew spiritually, you know, this is what I discovered. When I first started as a young Christian in that Assemblies of God Church in London, Mrs. Porter and myself and Pastor Porter, we used to operate diversities of tongues and interpretation. I was a young Christian, but God had mercy on me. I would get up in the church, I would give an utterance in tongues, Mrs. Porter will interpret. Sometimes Pastor Porter would interpret, you know. And where I really got to fear God, I would see them saying things that they don't say in the natural, or they don't even agree with. Then I knew it was God. They would interpret. I would give diversities of tongues, Mrs. Porter will interpret. I'll give diversities of tongues, Pastor Porter will interpret. You know, and I saw that, you know, manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Then something happened. As I grew spiritually, I shifted. I would now give prophecy. No tongues, no interpretation. Just, and it would be just like the verses of tongues and interpretation. Then as I grew, and I'm still growing, I'm not there yet, but I'm growing, you know, when I'm just teaching like this, many, many times, it will just come out. I will not say, "Thus said the Lord." I will not prophesy, but it is the word of God. It's happened to me over the years, and it's still happening, and it's getting better and better and better and better and better and better. That doesn't mean I don't need gifts of the Spirit. I do, but you find that many times, you know, you're talking by unction, and the Holy Spirit will just give it to you. For example, what I'm saying now about love of God ordinarily would have come through tongues and interpretation or prophecy. But it's not. It's coming direct. You know, that love is being able to discern by the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. You know, feel by the compassion that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Do by the power that comes from the gifts of the Spirit what God will do in every situation. That is the comprehensive definition of the love of God. Closing. And that's why you have faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You know why? Hope desires. You see, hope is the desire of love. Love has a picture in his mind. He wants to do something. It's not done yet. It's still a picture. It's still in the future. And that desire for that thing is called hope. Then faith comes to create it and takes it from the future to now and makes it a present reality. Then when the thing comes into manifestation, you know what? Love shares it. That is why hope, faith and hope come out of love. It is not love that comes out of faith and hope. It is love that gives birth to hope and faith. Therefore, the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Talk to God. The greatest of these is love. 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 Talk to God. The greatest thing you can do in your Christian life, stop worrying about this doctrine or that doctrine. Just perfect the love of God. Everything will be there. Wisdom will be there. Compassion will be there. Power will be there. The gifts of the Spirit will be there. No wonder why the great apostle said, I show you a more excellent way. Talking about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When he finished, he said, I will show you a more excellent way. He said, desire spiritual gifts, you know. He said, but walk in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 12, then into chapter 13. And then chapter 14 says, desire spirit, but walk in love. I show you, you want these gifts of the Spirit? You want manifestations? You want the glory of God? I show you a more excellent way. Walk in love. You walk in love because that is what God is. All of those things will be resident in you on a permanent basis. Hence, he says about Moses. And he will say such about you and I in this end time. He said, when I speak to other prophets, I speak to them in dreams and visions, discern of spirits and gifts of spirit. He said, but my servant Moses, he said, not so. I speak to him face to face. What did he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things, you know. He said, we see through a glass darkly, but then we see face to face. When you grow in love, you start seeing God face to face. Talk to God.
Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down,
fixing us.
Fixing us thy humble dwelling,
all thy faithful,
all thy faithful mercies. Jesus, thou art of compassion,
pure, hallelujah,
unbounded love, thou art,
hallelujah,
thy salvation,
again from the beginning. Love divine.
Love divine, all love excelling,
joy of heaven.
Joy of heaven to earth come down.
Fixing
us thy humble dwelling,
Jesus, hallelujah.
Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love, thou art. Fixing us with thy salvation, enter every trembling.
Next verse. Come Almighty.
Come Almighty to deliver.
Let us all.
Let us all thy life receive.
Suddenly return. Hallelujah.
Always blessing, serve thee as thy perfectly. Hallelujah.
Restored in thee.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. It brings light, fresh. We've heard some of these things before, but it causes a freshness and with greater clarity and greater understanding. And you're supposed to respond with a greater consecration, a greater determination on top of the one you've had before. And hear this scripture, this song written by this great man, John Wesley, that God used to shake the whole of England and change the course of the world. And he said this, he said, pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory in thy perfect love. That's the way to enter perfection of love. Pray and praise without ceasing. Watch and pray always. You cannot perfect the love of God if you're not watching and praying always. It is the man or the woman that is praying and watching always that will be, because of his constant fellowship and communion and interaction with God, he will be tapping in real time. We call it in the computer language, I say online. He'll be online because at every time he'll get the wisdom of God. He'll get the compassion of God. He'll get the power of God. He will know exactly what to do that God would do in every situation. But the key to it is watching and praying always.
Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect.
Raise that hand. Put the other hand on your heart. Now, you know, respond with greater consecration. We're going to pray in a minute. With greater determination. You've done it before. That's why it's from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. So God wants, you've heard the word now with greater clarity, with greater understanding you've done before. Now God wants a greater response from your heart. Now talk to God. We're all going to pray together. And say, God, thank you for showing me this. I'm going to, I, yet not I, but your mercy and grace that's with me, I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to tap more into your wisdom. Keep the word of God in my heart so I'll get your wisdom. Keep the fruit of the Spirit in my heart so I'll have your compassion. Keep the power of the Holy Spirit in my heart so I'll have your power to do what you would do in every situation. Oh God, consecrate. Reconsecrate. Consecrate in a greater manner than you've done before. Hallelujah. Now pray this after me. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come this morning reminding me of this commandment. The commandment to walk in love and truth. Father, I thank you. It is not a new commandment. It is the same one that you've given unto us. And I thank you for the clarity you brought to me this morning, making me understand that I can only do it by your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit inside me, so that I will think, I will speak, I will feel, and I will act like you in every circumstance and situation. So, perfecting the love of God in my life. So as men come into contact with me, they will, through me, come in contact with you. Which is your will. Father, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. Give me fresh grace, fresh mercy, Lord, to perfect this love in my life. So I will have at my disposal your wisdom, your compassion, and your power in sufficient measure in any circumstance in which I find myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Spirit. Likatoshko Fredengas. Lopikito Fridias. Zofridia. Langradasko Frides. Zofridingalakashko. Lombradala Mashalikiko Frides. Lombradeles. Mercy, Lord. Shalikiko. Lombrakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakak Hallelujah. Lombre gagamatulosh. Zafre. Langer de tomatolo. Lombre dikus tufredes. Lombre gagamatulomus tufre. Lombre gasha. Lombre gagamatul. Lombre dufrisi. Lombre gagamatulomus tufres. Zafre. Lombre de ka. Lombre kakakatulomus tufres. Zofre, Umbraka Kamatolomusaka, Tolomatufi Dufrishi, Kakamatoga, Umbraka Kamatoga, Tolomatolomatufi Dufrisha, Jehia, Yakako, Tolomashangi Tofredes, Umbredelets, Nofredes, Jikatos, Tolos, Tufrines, Longaras, Tufrines, Longardos, Jeleka Us, Tufrines, Langardalas, Tofredes, Tolos, Tufrish, Longardalas, Shoko Tufrish, Sofrines, Tolos, Tufrines, Longa dolos, toloma tontos cofre, longaras, tufris, sofridulos, tufridocodomus tufris. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. See, folks, I've said this many times, and it bears repetition. The reason why God gave us tongues, the main reason, there are many reasons, but the main reason is to perfect this law of God. Get the wisdom of God. That's why we have the two vital things. Of course, the blood is there to cleanse us. But with the blood, then the word and the spirit. When you have the word, you have the wisdom. You think like God. So when your emotions want to get better, the word that is inside you will rise above that emotion and bring it in line with what the word of God says. And then the compassion, the fruit of the spirit that is inside will now temper those emotions to fall in line with what God is saying. Then the power, the ability to do what is necessary to help in that situation will also be given unto you. Let's make this our great quest in this year, in this day of the glory of God that is upon us, that we will perfect this law. There is nothing God will withhold from you. Nothing. Nothing God will withhold for you. And I'll tell you something else. When this prophecy came some years ago, you know, He will not let your word drop to the ground. Once you say it, it's going to come to pass. You know why? It's God Himself saying it through you. Because you and God have become one. God bless you.